It is good because he made it good. It is good because he made it good. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And there they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. What could be good and beautiful about this? Perhaps it's a case of our misunderstanding the brutality of this day and of this act. Or perhaps it is something more. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so Paul tells the church at Corinth that the cross is foolishness to those who do not call Jesus Lord. And it may seem foolishness to call something so bad good. However, God does some beautiful work when things look really bad. Have you proven that? God does some beautiful work when things look really bad. Luke 23 says, as the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. That burden, that was big. The weight of that old rugged cross caused Jesus to collapse as the Roman soldiers grabbed a man named Simon and forced him to carry the cross of Jesus. And so Simon followed Jesus, carrying his cross up the hill called Golgotha, and then Jesus was crucified on it. It was a living picture of Jesus' call to his disciples, including us, from Luke 9. Imagine if I was to ask all of us here today to go and take this cross out of the cement block that it's in and walk around with that cross. We moved it from here to over there on Tuesday night for our family fun night for over 60 kids and their parents. And it was heavy. It was awkward. It was cumbersome. Imagine if you had to put that cross on your shoulders and carry it to Golgotha. Luke 9 says, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. And while we are called to carry our cross as a follower of Jesus, like today on Good Friday, we will not be crucified on it. Jesus took care of that for us. Jesus took care of that for us, for you and for me. And so how might we find the strength to bear the burdens that we carry today? Well, Jesus invites us, doesn't he? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Don't miss the beginning of that scripture verse, where it says, come to me, to Jesus. Come to me. Say it with me. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. We can only begin to grapple with what lays heavy upon us as we come to him. And as we take his yoke and as we trust Jesus with our burdens, that's when it becomes that beautiful sacrifice of the beautiful empty. And so as Jesus was there on that cross and as he was walking towards the cross that day, the ridicule that he endured was real. Those who passed by, they hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, I got stuck on the pass by part. Those who passed by. Here is Jesus carrying his cross towards Golgotha, and there's people passing him by, hurling insults, shaking their heads and in disgust, and yelling out, so you are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Come down from the cross and save yourself. You're going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. And they just shook their head like, you got to be kidding me. Come down from that cross and save yourself. And in the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, they mocked him among themselves. Well, you know, he saved others. And then they said, but he can't save himself. He saved others, but he can't save himself. From Mark 15. That term, passing by. They don't seem to stop and listen to the one who is dying for them. They simply ridicule that which they do not understand. And unfortunately, we have people in our lives that do the same thing. Have you ever thought about the very words of ridicule shouted at Jesus came true? Little do they realize the remarkable act of that unfolded in the midst of insults. The remarkable act that unfolded in the midst of insults. And in 3 days. Because the tomb was only rented for 3 days, right? I heard that bit last week when I was away. Save yourself. Save others. Oh, wait. Can't save himself. Just wait. Just wait. And then God, in his remarkable wisdom, says, I have a plan on how to redeem ridicule. I have a plan in how to redeem mocking. It's not an easy plan, but it's a way to take something bad and make it beautiful. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Love our enemies? Love the people who don't like us? That's foreign, isn't it? But Jesus loved. Jesus forgave. And we want to be like Jesus, don't we? So how can we? How can we? Proverbs 3, 5 to 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I can't imagine that on the way to Golgotha that day, as Jesus was carrying that cross, that there was a very straight path with the weight and the heaviness of that cross on his shoulder. I wonder, did he even switch shoulders? Did he switch arms? Was he going from side to side under the weight and the burden of that heavy, heavy wooden cross? And yet Scripture says to us in our day today, in all your ways acknowledge him. And because of the cross, because of this remarkable story, because of his redemption, he will make our path straight. Be not wise in your own understanding. Be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. I'm sure that day that Jesus didn't anticipate all that was going to happen. He didn't anticipate the hurling and the insults. He didn't anticipate what it was going to be like. And some days for us are like that, aren't they? We think our day is going to go a certain way. But we are to take those steps of faith, trusting Him to find the beautiful, where then we can find healing and refreshment. You see, at noon, darkness came over the whole land until it was 3 in the afternoon. It was lonely. It was lonely. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani." "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Hours have passed, and Jesus is hanging on the cross. And finally, he cries out to his Father, "Where are you? Where are you?" You see, this in this moment, a clear picture of the humanity of Jesus, this God, this man, is experiencing loneliness as none has ever experienced before. He cries out to God, the very one to whom he will shortly commend his spirit, "Why? Why have you forsaken me?" Jesus, at that moment, is experiencing loneliness on the cross. In 2 Timothy, we see that the Apostle Paul felt that loneliness as well. He was imprisoned in Rome. His death was imminent. He felt the weight of his loneliness as he wrote, "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and my scrolls, especially the parchments." You see, Paul needed companionship, not isolation. And in the midst of abandonment, he turns to his physical and his spiritual needs, and he asks for a cloak to warm his body. He asks for friends to provide him with fellowship. And saving the most needed for last, he asks for scriptures to warm and comfort his soul. It's good because he made it good. It's good because he made it good. Jesus, he makes it good. And it's a beautiful sacrifice. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That very bad day was the most beautiful picture of God's love for you and I. And that, my friends, is what makes it good. That's what makes it good. In fact, Good Friday may be the goodest day of all days. But wait, there is one more coming. There is one more coming. And in just a few hours, after all the tomb was only rented for 3 days, and we rejoice in that together. And so this morning, as we just spend a few moments in reflection, as we spend a few moments in reflection today again, we're just going to go back to the song we sang earlier, "The Old Rugged Cross." That has been a classic throughout the years. And we'll sing that in a few moments. But just spend right now, as the music plays, just a few moments of reflection for yourself. After hearing God's word and saying, okay, well, what does that mean for me? What does that mean for me? Well, my friends, it means Jesus Christ came to a babe in Bethlehem, which we celebrated at Christmas. He grew up to be a man, started his ministry, and at 33 years of age, he made that trip to the cross. And that was God's plan all along for his son, to demonstrate his love for us. And as he did that, he did it for you and I. And he gave us the opportunity of free choice to choose whether or not we want to accept his love for our hearts, in our hearts and minds, whether we want to experience afresh that love from the cross for us in our hearts on a day-to-day basis. How does that happen? By faith, by trusting in God, by saying to God, and saying and praying to Jesus, Jesus, I recognize that I have done so much wrong in my life, that I've done so many things that are unlike your personality and unlike your character. But Lord, from this day forward, I want to live a new life. I want to have a new beginning. I want to change. I want you to change me. And we simply say, Lord, forgive me for all those wrong things that I've done in my life. I acknowledge that wrongness. And Lord, I bow before you just now and I ask you for forgiveness. I ask you to become the Lord of my life. I ask that that love that you had on Calvary at the cross would be applied to my heart and to my mind today. Oh, that it would be so. And by faith, as we claim that in our lives, God comes in and he makes us new people. I had a conversation with someone this week about 6 months ago, how they never would have dreamt that they would have been in God's will and God's plan and accepting his love for their lives, but now is hungering and thirsting more and more after God. That's what God does. God changes us when we allow him to change us. His love is real. His love is individual. His love is beyond our human comprehension. And because his love is individual, he calls us by our name. He says, Donette, I love you with an everlasting love. He says, Ken, I love you with an everlasting love. Put your name in there. He loves you with an everlasting love. And if you haven't experienced that love, then I invite you. And if there's something that I'm chatting about today that you don't understand, by all means, reach out to us after the service. And we would be happy to have a conversation with you. But this morning, while Micah still kneels here today praying, maybe there's others who'd like to come and pray. You will see that the lights are still lit there this morning. It was the ninth station. But as we come, if you want to come, and invite you to turn off the light, because on Good Friday, it was that darkness that God experienced, that Jesus experienced, his loneliness. And yet God was there. God was there.